Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's our spring membership drive this week. More about that in a minute. Today, there is a chill in the air and rain is expected off and on all week. Traditional spring weather in central Ohio. What is better than a piping hot bowl of homemade soup at such times? And what better guest on such a day than Lynn Alley? Comfort food has long been cookbook author Lynn Alley's stock in trade, so her newest book, 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker, fits right into her growing repertoire for the slow cooker devotee. Lynn has written 5 cookbooks, 3 of them on slow cooking. She also writes articles about food and wine for a variety of publications and has taught cooking classes in the U.S. and the south of France. Her tastes span the globe, so her efforts fit right into Central Ohio's collective palate. She joins us again from her home in California today. Welcome back, Lynn Alley.
Oh, Anne, I'm so happy to be here, but guess what? For the first time since you and I have talked, I can't sit here and say, you poor people in the Midwest, because it's raining here too, and it's cold.
So. I'm sorry. Oh, Lynn.
Sorry. So we're all here looking for soup today.
We're all looking at soup today. Okay, well, you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and this is our spring membership drive. Please show your support for All Sides and for 89.7 NPR News. Call 1-866-897-9678. Our goal this hour is $1,500, and we can meet this goal with your help. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. And with a pledge of support at the $120 level, our thank you gift to you will be the cookbook, 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. Call 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker by Lynn Alley, our guest today, is the perfect thank you gift for yourself or the busy chef in your life. This book is full of recipes for delicious soups from minestrone to spiced apple pie soup. At the $120 pledge level, you will learn how to make simple and sophisticated soups in your slow cooker. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org and make that pledge of support right now so you can hunker down and enjoy the rest of the show. If you have a question for Lynn Alley, she can answer all sorts of cooking questions, particularly herbs and spice related. Give us a call at 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@WOSU.org. So, Lynn, even though it's in the 50s here in central Ohio and it's supposed to rain on and off all week, and they're supposed to get 8 inches of snow up, you know, along Lake Erie in northern Ohio, which is absolutely shocking. Let's talk about soups for spring, because you have a lot of different, a lot of variety in this tiny little book. Well, it's not tiny in a bad way. It's in a good way. Rhubarb raspberry, spring red plum soup, Indian spiced fresh tomato soup, new potato and parsley soup, real cream of tomatoes. I mean, these are just the ones off the top of my head.
Yep. Well, I would say that spring soups in general might better be made in a stovetop pot, but that's coming. However, there are a few, which you just mentioned, some of which you just mentioned, that work really, really well in a slow cooker. I'm looking right now at the beautiful picture of this spring red plum soup. That is so good. And it's, you know, it's just a beautiful deep red color, and it tastes so great. It's, you know, taking those plums, cooking them up in the slow cooker, the smell that pervades the house as you're cooking them. And then when you're done, the soup can either be served hot or cold. And I like that a whole lot.
How do you make it? You just take the plums. Any old plum, or what are you looking for?
Well, I call it red plum soup because I prefer using red plums, and the reason is that red plums tend to have a nice tart skin or area around the skin, and it's really right underneath the skin and in the skin itself that a lot of the valuable nutrients in all fruits and vegetables are found. And so I like the flavor of the red plum skins, but I also like including that for fiber and nutrients as well. You could, I'm sure you could make it with other types of plums, but I like the bite that the skin of a red plum gives to them. And, of course, that means you'd probably want organic fruit.
Now, the skin, the skin's where a lot of the color comes from, too, right?
You betcha.
Mm-hmm. So you leave it right on, and you cook it right in the slow cooker.
Yeah, in water, and then with some spices, if you like. Sometimes I like to make fruit soups. In fact, sometimes I like to make all soups with no spices at all, just so I can appreciate the rich red plum flavor. But barring that, if you want to gild the lily, some apple pie spice or some freshly ground cinnamon would work nicely. There's just a nip of sugar added to this soup, and only if you think it needs it, which it probably will. Mm-hmm. And then there's a cup of freshly squeezed orange juice that adds a nice extra touch to the soup. And you can top it with, you know, non-fat yogurt or creme fraiche, just a little dollop of it.
What is the magic in freshly squeezed orange juice? Does it matter in the cooking process, or does it just taste better?
To me, I feel like, especially if you have any particulate matter in the orange juice, I feel like the flavor changes somewhat when you cook it. I don't know. Living in California, living in Southern California, where there are a lot of, or especially used to be a lot of oranges on trees, it's kind of fun, and you could do this with tomatoes, or I don't think you grow citrus in your area, but there's an enormous amount of subtle difference between an orange just off the tree and an orange that's been refrigerated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true of a tomato, too. There's an enormous amount of difference between a tomato picked right off of your vine and a tomato that's been refrigerated, even if only for a few hours. I don't know if you've noticed that before.
Oh, I've noticed it with tomatoes and with oranges when I've been visiting people down in Florida.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's amazing that refrigeration or temperature makes a lot of difference. True with wine, you know, true with so many foodstuffs.
1-866-897-9678. That's the number to call if you would like to show your support for WOSU for All Sides with Ann Fisher right now. You can also go online to our secure server and make your pledge there at WOSU.org. Want to thank Cindy in Ashland. We have $1,350 to go. $1,350 out of a $1,500 goal this hour. Make the call right now, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. And at the $120 pledge level, we will give you our thank you gift this hour, which is 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker by Lynn Alley, our guest this hour. Lynn has joined us here today to help you answer your questions about cooking and using a slow cooker, but you can have her new cookbook and learn much more, and you'll be supporting 89.7 NPR News with your pledge today. The thank you gift is an added bonus to being a member of this public radio station. Go to WOSU.org and select 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker at the $120 pledge level, or pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678 and talk to our volunteers, or visit WOSU.org. I just visited our volunteers, Lynn. They're a couple walls away from me, and it's always nice to keep them busy because this is the way they contribute their time and effort to the cause.
Mm-hmm.
And Lynn, you do it as well.
Make a difference. Well, go ahead.
You help us every pledge drive. You know, you're just a regular.
Right. You know what we didn't mention to our listeners, Anne, was the fact that the fresh orange juice in this soup does not get cooked. It goes in at the last minute.
Right. Yeah. All you really cook is the plums for four hours. That's it.
That's it.
And then you can add the apple pie spice and sugar and orange juice after that.
Yep. Yep.
Boy, it sounds good.
Yep.
Let's see what else. Now, this sounds springy, but it's really not. It's really folly, which is the spiced apple pie soup. But
I was just looking at that because you certainly can serve it hot or cold.
Right.
Thing of it is with a spiced apple pie soup is it really thickens up. If you, you know, put it in the refrigerator, you cook it and put it in the refrigerator, it thickens up a whole lot. So if you take it out again, you're going to have to thin it with some water or some apple juice. But it would be great cold. It would be really just as nice cold as it is hot. Well, almost as nice cold as it is hot. I love the smell of this soup in the fall.
You know, I don't know. I have not made this soup yet, but you know the liquid that comes out of when you're stirring the apples together with all the spices before you pour them into the pie shell?
Yep.
And you bake an apple pie? I love that liquid. If there's a little bit of that left.
Me standing there with a spoon and dipping it, you know, pressing it down into the apples so you can get the juice.
Yeah. Thinking it will make the pie less drippy.
Okay, I'm going to remember that.
It's
less drippy.
It's not as runny. A rationalization there. So this is a stick of cinnamon, cloves, allspice, basically everything you'd put into a pie but the crust.
Yep. Yep. It's a wonderful aroma.
It looks good.
And the other thing is when it thickens up sometimes, if I have any leftover, which I don't often do, but if I have a little leftover and it thickens up, guess where it goes the next morning? On top of the yogurt.
Oh, yeah.
Delicious.
Or just mixed up with some granola maybe?
You bet.
And then on top of the yogurt.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Here's another one.
Huh.
You want to know another one that I would like for spring or summer? Sopa de ajo.
Which one's?
Garlic soup.
Yes, that was on my list.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's on page 66. It's a couple of pages before the apple soup. But when I think of spring or sometimes even summer, I think we all tend to think of the lighter soups. And this garlic soup is what the Mexicans call a caldo, which is basically kind of like a hot water soup. And then you put a bunch of raw stuff in at the last minute. It's sort of like so it's just basically a broth of garlic and lemon, and you cook the garlic and you cook some onion. And then only at the last minute do you throw in or even set on the table in separate bowls. Diced avocado, crumbled feta or queso fresco, chopped tomato, cilantro. It's almost like making tacos in a soup bowl.
Mm-hmm. It sounds good.
Like
and then a little cilantro and some scallions on top, and you've got a great meal. We're talking about Lynn Alley's book, 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. It includes 50 soup recipes that are flavorful and hearty. It's got great introduction that will teach you about using a slow cooker and has tips on freezing soups, too, which is a great, great option. This cookbook is hardcover. It has a spiral binding. It allows it to lay flat on the kitchen counter as you follow along with the recipes. It's my personal favorite design of any of Lynn's books. Learn how to make garnet yam soup with coconut cream and eggplant soup with cumin, yogurt, and dill, another one of my spring recipes. Only spring because it's coming up with summer and we're starting to plant our gardens, right, Lynn? So if you want to plant some eggplant, there's a great soup here. This book includes classics like French onion soup and cream of tomato soup and also includes unique offerings like Swedish rhubarb raspberry soup. We talked about that a little bit earlier. And Mexican tomato chili soup with orange juice and zest. Lynn Alley's book has a great table of contents and a helpful index in the back. And she shares 50 all-new vegetarian and vegan soups in this book using fresh and simple ingredients. These soups are easy to make, easy on the planet, and easy on the pocketbook. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and make your pledge of support right now. I think that WOSU 89.7 NPR News is easy on the planet and easy on the pocketbook because it's all we're asking for is what you can afford to show your support for the public radio station that you're listening to right now and that most likely you listen to every single day. Lynn, you listen to your public radio station out there in California.
I do, and they're right in the middle of their fun drive, too, and I just donated this morning. I thought, I can't go on the radio until I donated first. Because I am one of those people who listens just about every day, especially on the weekends when my favorite shows come on. I listen just about every single day, and you do. You just get complacent, and you sit back and think, oh, well, this is free just like everything else on the radio is, but there's a price to pay.
Nothing's free.
And it's not listening to annoying advertisements.
That's for sure. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and make your pledge of support right now. If you have a question or comment for Lynn Alley, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, post your question or comment there, or tweet me at Ann Fisher WOSU. Another one was the Indian spiced fresh tomato soup. And you have another real cream of tomato soup, too. Again, as you're planting your garden, this is something you could think about with the tomatoes for.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm sitting here with a copy of the book in front of me, and I had just opened the page to Indian spice fresh tomato soup. You could say we're on the same page.
Yes, I think we are.
And then you'd be really corny. But I was thinking, my, but that's a beautiful picture, isn't it? And I love this soup because when most of us think of tomato soup, we think of, you know, classic cream of tomato soup or minestrone or something very Western. But what a beautiful gift. I remember watching, I tell the story in the headnote to this recipe about staying in Davis, California, which is in California's Central Valley, and it's very much in an agricultural area. And I was staying at this motel, and I noticed that around the periphery of the motel, there were beans, eggplants, tomatoes, basil, cilantro. All sorts of vegetables had been planted around the hotel, and I thought, this is curious. And I expected that either there was somebody's Italian mother-in-law or perhaps one of the workers from Mexico had planted something there until I saw a lady in the garden dressed in a sari. And she was the proprietor's mother, and she had planted this garden, which for all the world could have been an Italian garden. And yet she was there tending her vegetables. And I, you know, of course, I mean, that makes all the sense in the world, but where I live, we're just not used to seeing so much of that. So here's an Indian-inspired tomato soup, and I just loved it.
Now, 2 tablespoons ghee, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's clarified butter.
Okay.
And the only reason that it's particularly useful in cooking is that all of the milk solids have been taken out of it, so it doesn't burn so easily. And it has a higher smoking point than regular butter does. But butter would do the same thing. As long as you're watching the pot carefully and not letting things burn, you could use butter. It's just easier to handle ghee. And you can buy ghee at most health food stores or certainly Indian markets, or you can make it yourself at home if you want to take a lot of time and trouble.
And who does that anymore?
Not me.
Also, 1 medium onion, fresh ginger, love fresh ginger, 6 large tomatoes, cumin seed, and 1 teaspoon black mustard seed. Do you want them to grind that up like usual? Yeah.
Well, yeah, you have to grind up the ginger.
Okay.
Actually, you probably don't. But the truth of the matter is that any of these spices could be used whole or ground up. And it kind of depends on what kind of texture you like. I'm looking in the recipe to see if I recommend grinding them. That's what I often do, is just throw them into a coffee mill or a spice grinder and grind them up a little bit. So there's still some texture and they're still almost recognizable, yet they've been broken up somewhat. That's what I often do because I like texture.
And in this case, you mince the garlic right before you serve it and add it to it right before you serve it. It says just before serving, use a garlic press to mince the garlic into the soup. Is the garlic already been cooking?
You know what? Actually, I just realized that's a misprint. It should say use a garlic press to press the garlic into the soup.
Well, I knew what you meant.
Yeah, I know, but there's a little gaffe. The reason I do that is, A, no, the garlic has not been cooking.
Okay.
And there's, once again, here we go, temperature changes. There's a very big difference between the flavor of raw garlic and the flavor of garlic that's been cooked even just a little bit, whether it's been browned, whether it's been stewed. The flavor changes greatly in garlic depending upon how much heat you do or don't apply to it. So being a fan of real garlic flavor, I like to use the garlic press and just press the garlic into the soup raw and then stir it up. Now, if you don't like raw garlic flavor, if you're not a big garlic fan, then by all means, cook it or leave it out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, I can't imagine leaving it out. Thanks to Carol in Columbus, we have $1,200 to go this hour. Just $1,200. Pick up the phone right now. Make your show of support for WOSU. For 89.7 NPR News and everything we bring to you every day, just like this, we don't just have programs like this during Pledge Drive. We also have them on any given week because we love cooking. Here at All Sides, 1-866-897-9678. Give us a call. Show your support if that's the sort of thing that you care about and you enjoy. My guest this hour is Lynn Alley, food and wine journalist and author of 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. You can talk to Lynn Alley, 1-614-292-8513. If you'd like, you can also pick up the phone and give us a call and show your pledge of support right now. Again, thanks to Carol in Columbus and Cindy in Ashland. We have $1,200 to go this hour. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And you can. It just takes a couple minutes to make that pledge right now. All your books are beautiful, filled with all these mouthwatering photographs. This is no exception, but the size and construction of the book is different. And as I've mentioned before, it gets rave reviews. The bloggers love it.
Isn't that nice of them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love it too. And I actually am cooking away thinking about another Soups book. But yeah, I love the size of it too. I love that you can lay it out flat on the counter. You could stick it in your purse and take it someplace with you. I love that.
And each recipe is contained on a page.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, isn't that helpful?
Yes, it is. You would not believe what I've forgotten to put in things before.
Right.
Or what I've forgotten to.
Oops, yeah, you forgot that second page.
Forget that second page.
Yeah.
So.
You know, it's really funny. I do a lot of traveling, and believe it or not, there are times, especially if it's cold, when there's a small slow cooker tucked in the back of the car, and this book fits in it perfectly.
Oh, yes.
You know, if you're in a hotel room, you know, probably most of your listeners don't have to spend a lot of time on the road. But if you're traveling and if the weather is cold, this is a handy little idea, a little slow cooker and a little soup book.
Well, and that brings up another idea that I often suggest to people out there. If you don't need this book, or if maybe you know somebody who's getting married, a slow cooker is always a great wedding gift or shower gift. This would be the perfect accompaniment to that. You know, just pop it in there, and hopefully they open the whole gift up and just don't take it into exchange. That's the only. Make sure you tell them to look in the slow cooker, It's just a great accompaniment to that.
Yeah.
I think it's the perfect one. 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. That's our gift to you at the $120 pledge level. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678, to show your support right now. You open the book with reference to the stone soup folktale because it exemplifies the simplicity of soup making. What about tweaking your recipes with what's on hand? How do you feel about that?
Go for it. You know, it's as simple as that. One of the things that I realized is that as I was writing this book, I thought, I don't have any recipes here in which I call for a soup stock. Not one.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, am I going to get dinged by critics for that? And what I realized is, you know what? Peasant people around the world for centuries have not used soup stock. That's a rich man's, in a sense, it's a rich man's invention. But water has been the basis for soup. So I love the idea of just starting with water and then seeing what you can do with it. I mean, water in itself is wonderfully nourishing, and we take it so for granted. But what can you do with it? What can you do with water to turn it into something that is a little more sustaining and nourishing?
You know, it's funny. I hadn't thought about it that way. That it, the fact that it It doesn't require any soup stock anywhere. That is nice. And it makes it more, affordable, too.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly. Why would you have to go to the store and buy a can of soup stock? Or, perhaps if you make your own at home, but I don't know too many people who do that. It's a nice idea, and it's not all that difficult, but I don't know too many people who do it. Why not just use water?
Thanks to Kiri in Columbus, we have $1,100 to go in just about 30 minutes now. $1,100 in 30 minutes. I know we can make the goal like we have every day. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. We have an email from Sue. She says, I love the Soups Cookbook and I am a member of WOSU, of course. I was wondering if you could talk about adding meat to some of the recipes. I don't need to add meat to consider it a meal, but my husband does. I am looking for some suggestions. Thanks.
Isn't that funny?
Mm-hmm.
So I've written two cookbooks now that don't contain meat. And to my way of thinking, one of the sure signs of the success of a recipe is when I can feed it to a meat-eating friend and have them say, this is really good. The greatest compliment I remember is a coworker of mine used one of my recipe books one time, and her husband, a meat eater, said, well, if this is vegetarian food, I could be a vegetarian. And I thought, yeah, that's kind of what I want to go for. Something that's substantial enough, that's got enough chaw to it, that it's satisfying for anybody. But her question was how to add meat. Well, that's pretty easy. Pick what you've got or what you want and throw it in the soup. Many of these soups would lend themselves to the addition of meat, whether it's ground meat, whether it's meat that's been chopped into large chunks and cooked for a long time,
mm-hmm.
which the slow cooker does so beautifully, whether it's been slivered.
What about the sopa de ajo, the broth where you already placed, couldn't you add meat to that?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course you could. The possibilities are kind of endless. You can use large chunks of meat. You can use chopped meat. You can use ground meat. You can use slivered meat. You can use beef. You can use lamb. You can use... I just prefer not to for a lot of reasons. But you could, if you have some leftover roast from Sunday night's dinner, why not chop that up and throw it in to one of the soups? That's, if you'll pardon the expression, beefing up the nutrient content, and to somebody like our caller's husband, that's going to taste better and be more acceptable and good.
Is it Ribollita?
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of interesting. It means reboiled.
Yeah. Well, I love that soup. It's one of my favorites in the book. And it does mean reboiled. And it's, here we got it. Soups based in a country tradition. Here's one of them. It's just soup that's been cooked a second time. Only we're not cooking it a second time. The name comes from basically yesterday's minestrone. So probably... you could say we have two recipes for minestrone in this book. They're just a little bit different. Again, people using what they had on hand, whether it's celery, carrots, chard, cabbage, zucchini. At different times of year, your soup would probably contain different vegetables or different herbs and spices. But the bottom line is you got your Parmesan rind in there, which we should mention to our readers.
Yes.
And you've got water and you've got garlic, and what more do you need for a really wonderful Italian soup?
Now the Parmesan rind, some people leave it in. I've taken it out because it gets real spongy looking.
It's a little too weird for you.
It's a little too weird, but I've used it for flavoring.
I know. Well, that's a personal choice. I, as I've mentioned, you and I have talked about it before, I always leave the rind in the soup and I eat it because I like that spongy, chewy texture and the flavor. So just in case our listeners are not familiar with it, if you have a rind of Parmesan cheese, you don't want to throw it away because really a Parmesan cheese doesn't have any wax on it. That's just hardened milk. The rind is just hardened milk. It's what the rest of the cheese is, only it's harder because it's been exposed to air. So you can use that. You can throw that rind into any kind of a soup to give it extra added flavor. But one thing, and as it sits in the soup, it becomes kind of spongy. It just soaks up water and then becomes kind of spongy. Well, at first I would take that rind out and throw it away when it had served its purpose. But I've kind of gotten to the point where I take it out and I chop it in small little cubes and throw it back into the soup because I think it has a sort of meaty texture and it has that satisfying chew to it. So I actually leave it right in the soup. And the other thing I wanted to say is I don't know what the stores are like in your part of the country, but where I live, I can go into any Whole Foods store and buy Parmesan rinds. They're making a fast buck off of the rinds they cut off of their cheeses by selling them to people like me for soup and stew.
I don't know if they do. I keep meaning to check it out. I just buy so much Parmesan, I never...
You don't have to worry
I
about
haven't
it.
Had to worry about it yet, but yeah. It's worth checking out. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. Listener supported. And this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joining us this morning is cookbook author and slow cooker expert Lynn Alley with our thank you gift for this hour, 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. Lynn says soups are meals that are easy on the planet and easy on the pocketbook. And this book focuses on fruits, grains, and vegetables. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org and support 89.7 NPR News. You're all-day NPR news station. We need to hear from you now. 1-866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. Our goal this hour was $1,500. We still have $1,100 to go in the next 23, 24 minutes in support of All Sides.
We need somebody who's really got a pocketbook and is very generous.
Yeah, let's just get it over with. If you're out there, make the
that's
call.
That's what we want. One or two people, $500, bam.
But for the rest of us, we can't sit back and expect that that will happen. It usually right. doesn't. Most of our support comes from $50, $100 pledges. So it's whatever you can afford. We appreciate it, and we need it. 1-866-897-9678. Or go online to WOSU.org. Again, pledge whatever amount fits into your budget and show us that you enjoy having authors like Lynn Alley on the radio in Columbus. Call 1-866-897-9678. Make the pledge right now. 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker has beautiful illustrative pictures of the soups you will create. The goal of this book is to teach you how to make sophisticated soup in a slow cooker from scratch, freeing you from hours of hard work in the kitchen. Learn how to make French onion soup or potato cheese and asparagus soup, another springtime option, and spring red plum soup, which we talked about earlier. Pick up this thank you gift for a pledge of $120. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Make the pledge right now. Thanks to Samuel and Betty and Powell. 1-866-897-9678. We have $950 to go. $950 to go in just about 21 minutes. Make the pledge right now and then get back and enjoy the rest of the show. Yeah, I always asparagus. I'm surprised I didn't have it on my list in the first place, Lynn Alley, but because one of my favorite spring stories involves asparagus. One day when I lived in the country some years ago, I was walking down the road and I saw a patch of wild asparagus.
Whoa.
I know.
I don't even know what that looks like.
I know. I can't even believe I found it. And I took as much as I could. It was literally in the drainage ditch.
Wow.
It was outside of the wire fence of whatever, really super rural. I mean, I had no idea who the property belonged to. And I took as much as I could, and I went home and I made asparagus soup. And there was nothing like it ever from that fresh, fresh spring asparagus. There wasn't.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, what a treat.
Yeah, I
love being out walking in the country someplace and coming across wild berries or something like that because somehow the smack of stolen you know, asparagus or berries are really, really good. Aside from the flavor, you just feel really clever, don't you?
Well, it might have just rotted there.
That's right. That's right. It would have just sat there unappreciated.
Exactly. You know, it's there is a big asparagus garden in my neighborhood, and if in case they're out there listening right now, I drive by and I covet it very much. I know what they're getting every spring, and the stalks have started to sprout, and it makes me very jealous. Are any of these recipes adaptations for meals in your previous slow cooker books? I was wondering.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure that I have the apple soup, the spiced apple soup, in another one of my cookbooks. I'm pretty sure I do. And off the top of my head, I can't think of anything else. But, you know, I don't know if this is what you meant, but you make a good point. Almost every one-pot meal I can think of that I've ever written about could also be adapted to a soup form. Mm-hmm. For instance, there is a hummus soup in here, and we've all enjoyed hummus on a, you know, scooped up on some pita bread or some vegetables of some kind, but I just thought to myself, you could turn this into a soup and nothing flat, and there it is. You know, just chickpeas mushed up with Kalamata olives, a little bit of cheese, a little bit of dill or oregano. You can turn a lot of things into a soup.
You know, I'm looking at the new potato and parsley soup with olive tapenade, and that just looks so good to me, that combination of flavors, that creamy and salty combination.
Yeah, me too. I love that soup. There's not much in this world I love as much as I love potatoes. Unless it's beans, because I really like beans, too.
Mm-hmm.
I love cooking with them. I love mashing them. I love them in soups. I love them in casseroles. You know, I just really like them.
If nine people out there just pick up their phone right now and call 1-866-897-9678, we could wipe out this goal too sweet. 1-866-897-9678. We still have $950 to go in just about 16 minutes. Let's meet this goal. It's good to meet the goals as we set them, as we move along. We don't get overwhelmed at the end of the week. Thanks to Shoba in Columbus, we have $800 to go now. Now we just need eight people to pick up the phone. Eight people. I know there's eight people out there listening right now. If you're one of those folks that have been putting it off, now's the time to pick up the phone. It's a beautiful, beautiful hardcover spiral book with a covered back to it. You could lay it out flat on the counter, and at $120 pledge level, it's our gift to you. It's our thank you gift to you. But I always want to remind people, give what you can afford. Always live within your budget. We appreciate anything. We appreciate the show of support. We appreciate the vote of confidence that you're showing in
if
all sides.
If I can do it, they can do it.
Thanks to Chrissy in Reynoldsburg. Eight people, now seven people. Thanks to Chrissy in Reynoldsburg, we have $680 to go. Just $680. Six people. Pick up the phone. We'll wipe this out in 5 minutes. I know we have enough volunteers back there to easily entertain six people right now. And remember, it just takes a couple minutes, and we have plenty of time. So if you get the pledge out of the way, we have plenty of time to talk about the book and with Lynn Alley. We only get her a few times a year. She's a loyal supporter of All Sides with Ann Fisher and 89.7, and here she lives way over in San Diego. What does she get out of it but the satisfaction of knowing she's supporting public media? And that is a big part of, you know, that's the whole thing with cooking. The satisfaction that you get is so much different than just going out and buying it or buying it pre-made, just making it yourself. That's the same kind of satisfaction you get when you support your very own radio station.
So how about cream of artichokes?
Yeah. Is that just with artichoke hearts? I haven't made that one
yet.
Doesn't
that sound delicious?
Yes, I love artichokes.
Well, it depends on what kind of, you know, and this is the time of year when those little tiny artichokes are starting to show up in the market. And there's a place in Northern California near Monterey called Castroville, which bills itself as the artichoke capital of the world. So you can't drive through that town without finding any restaurant that's got cream of artichoke soup on the menu. And some is better than others, as you might imagine. So here was my version of cream of artichoke soup that contains just potatoes, artichokes, water, lemon juice, garlic, onion. How simple is that? Olive oil, all mushed up, and some herbs to top it off with. Makes a delicious soup. And you mentioned, is that just the hearts? Well, it really depends upon the time of year and the size of the artichokes, doesn't it? Because when they're, you know, in the springtime, I'm guessing you could probably use the whole artichokes. You'd probably want to cut off the very tip and then just cook up the rest of them. But as the artichokes get bigger, so do the leaves get tougher and the choke gets a little more annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you're using really large, mature artichokes, you probably want to take off the leaves and take out the choke and then just cook the hearts. And, of course, you could use frozen or canned artichokes, too. I've tasted some really good frozen and canned products.
But let's assume we have a really nice fresh artichoke. You put the whole thing in the slow cooker? And then
if it's the really tiny ones,
okay.
I would do it.
All right. Okay.
The really tiny babies.
Right. Okay.
And then maybe pull off a few leaves off the outer part. But, you know, if they're young enough, the whole thing can be fairly tender.
And you don't have to chop it up or anything. You just put it all in there whole.
Well, because my formula is I put a lot of things into the slow cooker if I'm going to puree the soup.
Yeah.
And I puree it then with an immersion blender, mm-hmm. which is another great thing to mention to our listeners,
yep.
is the use of an immersion blender, because gone are the days when you had to spoon the contents of the soup into a blender, getting half of it all over the counter in order to puree it.
Or have it explode out of the blender because you put too much in. And I've no.
Or you burn yourself.
Personal experience.
It goes all over the kitchen when yeah. you turn the blender on. So, you know, with the immersion blender, some people call it a stick blender, but you can get them everywhere now. You just stick that into the soup, and it does the job of pureeing the soup beautifully.
I got one for Christmas just because of your books.
Oh, did you? How do you like it?
I love it. I love it. It's
what
it's
kind
wonderful.
Did you get?
Oh,
can you say it on the radio?
I think the same thing that makes all the food, Cuisinart.
Oh, I was going to say, so that means you got one of the brightly colored ones.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
Blue.
Okay. All right. I love the new Cuisinart, you know, brightly colored everything.
Yes, I know. So do I. That's yeah. a lot of fun. We still need 6 more pledges. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Either way, it'll take just a few minutes. Our gift at the $150 pledge level today is 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker by our guest this hour, Lynn Alley. The book includes 50 soup recipes that are flavorful and hearty. It has a great table of contents and a helpful index in the back. It also has a great introduction that teaches you how to use a slow cooker and has tips on freezing soups, too. Very important, particularly if you live alone or have a small family. The cookbook is hardcover, as I've mentioned, and has a spiral binding that allows it to lay flat on your kitchen counter as you follow along with the recipes. It's a small book, not teeny tiny small, not in a bad way, small in a nice way because it fits into a slow cooker. If you're given a slow cooker for a graduation gift or a shower gift or a wedding gift coming up this spring or summer, this is a great complement to that.
One, I think it's maybe 4x6.
Pardon me?
Four by six.
Well, no, I think it's
maybe
6x6.
Bigger.
I think it's square.
Huh?
I think it's 6 square.
Oh, you're right. It
mm-hmm.
is square.
Yeah, it's
so
square.
Maybe 6x6.
Yeah, it's 6x6, I think.
Or 7x7, something like that.
I should know because of the cake. I think it's 6x6 because it's shorter than 9. I mean, it's a lot shorter. It'd fit inside a 9x9 easily, cake pan, if you'd like to add it there. thanks to Emia in Columbus. 5 more calls.
Yay.
$550 to go. Just 5 calls and 10 minutes. We'll make our goal, 1-866-897-9678. This is the time to show your support if you're enjoying this show. Lynn does a great job helping us understand about cooking with slow cookers and helping expand our horizons when it comes to slow cookers. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. She also loves to take questions. So if you have a question about slow cookers, anything to do with slow cookers, we've really mostly been talking about the recipes. But if you do have a question, give us a call, 614-292-8513. If you want to make that pledge, the number is 1-866-897-9678. Five people pick up the phone right now. Don't put it off. We have $550 to go, and I know we'll make our goal this hour with your help. You can also go online to WOSU.org and make that pledge right now. Again, it can include, the book includes classics like French onion soup and cream of tomato soup, and also more unique offerings such as Swedish rhubarb raspberry soup and Mexican tomato chile soup with orange juice and zest.
Or how about the enchilada soup? That is really good.
What page is that on?
Enchilada soup. Okay, yeah. Hang on. I'm looking.
I'm flipping through Mexican tomato. No.
So good.
Spiced lima bean, Indian spice, curried butternut squash, hummus, hot and sour. You really cover. Here it is. It's on page 32. You really cover the waterfront when it comes to ethnicity in your.
Books. Because all of my other slow cooker books really are arranged by ethnic chapter. You know, there's a Mexican chapter. There's Italian, French, Indian. So all of my other books have been arranged, you know, by country chapter. And how could I not help but throw in some of those same concepts into my soups book? We just didn't arrange it by country.
So enchilada soup. You say your grandfather was a big enchilada man.
Oh, he was good. My grandfather was born in Texas and raised on a ranch in California. And beans are ranch food. You know, that's what the early California settlers really survived on, was a lot of beans. They ate a lot of beans, the early Californios. And so my grandpappy was a good enchilada sauce maker, and he was big on beans, and he would have loved this soup. He wouldn't have put so much stuff in it because country cooking is plain, simple cooking.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't have put all of these things in it, but I do. And I think my soup is the better for it.
You refer to dried Mexican oregano. What's the difference?
It's a completely different plant. Mexican oregano is a completely different plant, not even in the same family as, you know, what we commonly think of as oregano. But what I have noticed is that at least in my part of the country, and I'm sure in other parts of the country too, one of the major spice makers actually now markets Mexican oregano that you can find in the shelves of the grocery store. So it's in one of those little bottles right next door to the regular. There's a Greek oregano or the classic oregano. You can find Mexican oregano, and the flavor is somewhat different. But if I didn't have any Mexican oregano, I'd just use regular oregano.
Okay. It's okay to substitute that.
You betcha. French onion soup is a great thing to make in the slow cooker. It saves you a lot of time and a lot of trouble. You just slice up those onions, throw them into the bottom of the pot without any liquid, and let them brown and cook and stew for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And only then are you going to add the liquid and some of the other ingredients.
Oh, man, there is so much. There's a cauliflower and Stilton and fine herbs soup. If you want to see this for yourself, our guest to you, our gift, my guest is Lynn Alley. Our gift to you at the $120 pledge level is her book, 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. Thanks to Kathleen and Steve in Columbus, and also thanks to Stacy in Columbus. We need just three more pledges now.
Oh,
three more pledges, sorry. And we have 5 minutes to go. Three
We're
people.
There. Come on, guys.
You know three you're
people?
Out there. Let's make this
five
goal.
Minutes.
It's so great when we can stay on track with our hourly goals. 1-866-897-9678. We're getting excited here. It's always more fun when we make our goals. But it's also very helpful to the operation of the station when we make our goals, because we depend on our listeners, just like you, to show your support right now. 1-866-897-9678. Just three more calls or web pledges. You can go online to WOSU.org and pledge via our secure server. Lynn shares 50 all-new vegetarian and vegan soups in this book using fresh and simple ingredients. Remember, you don't have to run out and buy soup stock. You make your own from scratch with this. It has a great table of contents, and we mentioned French onion soup. I love cream of tomato soup, Swedish rhubarb raspberry soup. I don't know if we've actually talked about that. I think I keep meaning to bring it up. And Mexican tomato chile soup with orange juice and zest. Three more calls or web pledges. 1-866-897-9678. Or go online to WOSU.org and make your pledge of support right now. Just three more calls or web pledges. We have 4 minutes left in the hour. Lynn, let's quick talk about the Swedish rhubarb raspberry soup.
Okay.
Wow.
Well,
why Swedish,
is
I guess?
In northern climes.
Okay.
And I love rhubarb. It's, you know, man, I just love rhubarb. I love that wonderful tart flavor. I love rhubarb pie. It's probably my favorite pie in the world. So, once again, why not rhubarb and raspberry? Think of the color.
Exactly.
Yeah, and think of it, once again, this is one of those soups that could be served hot or cold with whipped cream or creme fraiche. Or low-fat yogurt or whatever you like, plopped right in the middle of it. What? And should you happen to have any left over from dinner when you serve it, which I sincerely doubt, but should you have any left over, you know perfectly well in my house what will happen to it the next morning.
Yogurt.
Yogurt, that's right.
And then sprinkle some granola on top of it. And
oh, yes.
Yeah. Two pounds of fresh or frozen sliced rhubarb, 6 cups of water, granulated sugar, and a 10-ounce package of frozen raspberries. Can you use fresh?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Since we're coming into the season, and then, of course, sour cream or whipped cream for topping, or you mentioned honey for drizzling, and I suppose you could use blue agave or something like that as well.
Right.
Thanks to
and
Sally.
Yep. You can make the soup with just raspberries, especially if you're coming into the raspberry season and they're inexpensive now, or if you have raspberry bushes in your property, you could certainly do it with all raspberry, or conversely, you could do it with all rhubarb.
The color either way is absolutely gorgeous. Thanks to Sally in Dublin, we need just two more pledges now. Two more pledges to make our goal. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. We want to ask you to show your support at whatever pledge level you feel comfortable. At whatever for whatever amount you feel comfortable giving, whatever you can afford, that's all we ever ask. At the $120 pledge level, our gift to you this hour, however, is the 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker by Lynn Alley. She's a slow cooker expert. She knows what she's talking about. I think this is your fourth slow cooker book or your third or fifth. I don't even know.
No,
I've lost count.
Fourth or fifth.
Okay, fourth or fifth slow cooker. She knows what she's doing when it comes to the slow cooker. She's an expert, and she joins us just about every pledge drive to share her expertise and her insights into cooking. Lynn Alley, thanks so much for joining us again today.
What a pleasure, Anne. And I'm so pleased that we have almost reached our goal. I bet by the time you and I sign off, you're going to be there.
Yeah, because we only need two more people. And I know there are two people out there listening right now. So pick up the phone, 1-866-897-9678. Show your support for All Sides with Ann Fisher and for 89.7 NPR News. And thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus and streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.
Support for 89.7 comes from Capital University, hosting Food for Thought, Nutrition in America, the culminating event of Capital's Empathy Experiment, Wednesday, April 25th at 6 p.m. on the Bexley campus. Details at empathy.capital.edu.